seriously want?
Their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Sliwa from WABC Radio.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New York.
Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa. What happened today? Why? And what's next? Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one done. Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey, gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
7 minutes after the hour of 5, as we are high atop Madison Square Garden in the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com. Back-to-back, belly-to-belly, we're expecting a storm to hit us sometime Wednesday after the nor'easter. Continue to do damage and continue to hunker down cops in the Westchester County Police Department who are now back on the track of that one, I might add, one, Wiley Coyote, who in the Northern Yonkers has conducted a reign of terror against residents. So here we have the Westchester County Police, the jackbooted thugs that they are, weighing death and destruction now as they continue their crossfire through Dimwitty Park or whatever the hell that place is. You think, like, maybe they could help in reconstructing some of the telephone poles that were taken down by the trees that were dislodged by the nor'easter? We'll get into all of that, ladies and gentlemen. But another one bites the dust. Announcing today that we have a brand new chancellor of the Board of Education, Department of Education. That's right, the DOE, dumbest organization ever. Now, if you remember, it was just towards the end of last week. I'll call him the spokesperson for Dos Equis. Remember the most interesting man in the world? That was Alberto Carvalho, the Portuguese immigrant who had run the Board of Education for Dade and Miami County. He dissed and dismissed the mayor. Now, you would think the mayor would take some time so as to not be embarrassed again. Oh, no, 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 no. He has just announced that his new chancellor of the Department of Education, a.k.a. dumbest organization ever, is Ricardo Carranza. Carajo, carajo, I can't believe this. This guy is like a nobody. He looks like Pancho Villa. He needs to take a shave. Wait till you see this guy. He's from Houston. Okay, that's a large public school system. He had originally been chancellor of the San Francisco Board of Education for 4 years. Not that many kids in that public school system, although it's had its problems. But it's sort of like 3 days later, you're installing Ricardo Carranza? What's the matter? We don't have anyone capable here in New York? It seems to be what the mayor is saying. To run the Department of Corrections, where did he go? To Maine. He did his moose call at the Moose Lodge and got Ponte, who is the worst correctional department head that we've ever had. And he just compounds the problem. And then another one bites the dust, our own Gersh Kuntzman, who for years was a writer and a editor for New York's hometown newspaper, The Daily News, decided to flip the script and go to Newsweek magazine. And he has been tossed out on his tuchus to the curb. Is this correct, Gersh Kuntzman?
Well, I'm glad you led with that. You led with me getting fired by Newsweek last week. Thanks, Curtis. Well, I am out of work looking for a job. If anybody's out there, certainly you should know I'm an excellent editor and a great guy.
Yes, yes. And in fact, having edited a lot of local community newspapers, having been with the Post, having been with the News, there are few, if any, people who have the kind of journalistic credibility that you've had in earning your stripes the hard way.
Well, it doesn't mean you're not going to hang up on me at the end of this segment, presumably.
Well, it all depends on what you say about Bibi, who as Prime Minister of Israel was in town maybe for the last time to meet with our president because he's under duress, multiple investigations into corruption there. But this is what he had to say while meeting with the president of the United States earlier today.
I had to say, what is our greatest challenge in the Middle East to both our countries, to our Arab neighbors? It's encapsulated in one word, Iran. Iran has not given up its nuclear ambitions. It came out of this nuclear deal emboldened.
And so as a righteous chosen person, Gersh Kuntzman, what is your reaction to a prime minister who may not be here for more than 2 or 3 weeks as he is engulfed in corruption and investigations in his home state of Israel?
Well, my reaction to Bibi is the same as if he was not under a corruption cloud, and it's simply he is the prime minister of the very right wing of Israel, which is really the very, very right wing of the United States of America. He has no credibility on the issue of peace in the Middle East.
Well, what happened? Because originally he wasn't that way. I think he graduated, like Trump, the University of Pennsylvania. He was so Americanized, more so than any previous prime minister, Barat or Sharon, General Sharon. Where did things go so wrong for him?
Well, no. Hold on. I'm not saying anything about his ability to communicate with American presidents and to be a very westernized version of an Israeli prime minister. My problem with Bibi is simply he no longer believes in the two-state solution, and the one-state solution that he and President Trump seem to be adapting to is a disaster for Israel because Arabs have more children than Israelis, and so basically you'd have a population bomb. The two-state solution is the only route to peace that other presidents have signed off on. Israeli negotiators have signed off on, Palestinian negotiators have signed off. That is where we need to move, and he refuses to move in that direction.
But let me add an addendum to what you said. It is true that Arab families are having more children than Jewish families who are secular. But when it comes to the Orthodox and the Hasidim, boy, do they give those Arab families a run for their money, don't they?
They certainly do. They are not as big a population in Israel currently. And there's another problem with the Orthodox families in Israel is what happens to the military service. You know, Israel prides itself on universal military service. Oh, but there's a little loophole for the severely Orthodox. And that's a problem for Israel's future as well.
And also the president weighed in today about his expectations of the Palestinians in seeking a peace accord with Israel.
The Palestinians, I think, are wanting to come back to the table. Very badly. If they don't, you don't have peace. You don't have peace. If they don't, you don't have peace. And that's a possibility also. I'm not saying it's going to happen. Everybody said this is the hardest deal to make of any deal. Whenever you have a hard deal, like in business, you say, oh, this is almost as bad as Israel and the Palestinians. You use it like as an example. This is the hardest deal. This is years and years of opposition and, frankly, hatred and a lot of things involved in this deal beyond the land.
The hardest deal. Would you agree? Would you concur with our president on that?
Well, it's been a hard deal. It's been intractable for many years, but he so glosses over the issue. First of all, we play a role in making that more difficult, A, by not holding the Israelis accountable when they build illegal settlements in the West Bank and other occupied areas. B, we're not certainly not helping by cutting off aid to Palestinian refugees, which we did after the Palestinians refused to negotiate with us, after President Trump recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, which is something that obviously Congress had called for years ago, but no president had done because it's such a third rail in the Middle East. So don't act as though, I just inherited an intractable problem. Well, if you make it worse, then of course it's going to be intractable. And if you put your son-in-law in charge of trying to negotiate peace and he can't get a security clearance because he's so conflicted through his business dealings, you're the one who's making it worse.
Donald, this is amazing!
I think that was Jared Kushner who was weighing in there. Let me see if I can lend my ear to it.
Oh, boy!
He does sound like Mickey Mouse, doesn't he?
You've only heard his voice, I think, one or two times since President Trump took office. He is amazingly unavailable to the press.
Gosh, I don't know.
He is unavailable, but I can't imagine with the kind of body language he exudes with his voice that when he's sitting with Saudis and those of the UAE and the Egyptians and the Palestinians and the Israelis themselves, that he has taken all that seriously.
Well, I think he is, actually, for one simple reason. Money talks and principles walk. And money is the only language that the Trump administration and Jared Kushner understand. You know, he gets these loans, very big investments for his family's real estate business. By the way, his family's real estate business is down the toilet. Without these loans, that he works out, the New York Times had a big story about this, that he works out after meeting with these diplomats. So it's pretty clear what his business arrangements are.
Well, see, you might have been able to get a job with Jared Kushner's former publishing firm. What was that? The New York Observer, I think. You might have been able to get that, and you would have had your byline, Gersh Kuntzman, on the butcher block paper that it was printed on.
No thanks. If Jared Kushner's listening, I don't need a job that badly.
I almost forgot.
You ain't going nowhere with Jared Kushner. Anyway, that's Gersh Kuntzman, legendary New York columnist, and a guy was kicked to the curb by Newsweek magazine just last week.
The Drive at 5. On the app, Curtis Sliwa, live.
No more Curtis Sliwa.
Local.
There's a guy in a red hat.
On it.
Everybody listens to Curtis.
77 WABC.
Five 27, as we continue to take you home on the Drive Home at 5, Governor Rick Scott of Florida has said he is inalienably opposed to the idea that President Trump had talked about in the aftermath of the killings at Parkland High School in Florida to basically take those teachers that were willing to go through a training course and to have them strapped with guns in the classroom. He said ixnay on that idea. Meantime, on the opposite side of that argument, I was just reading in the New York Star Ledger the other day, is columnist Paul Molshine. Thanks for joining us here on the Drive Home at 5 again, Paul.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you take a completely different point of view than the governor of Florida, who today officially said, no, I don't want teachers strapped in the classroom.
Well, yeah, I mean, it cracks me up the way my liberal friends all get really, really freaked out when you say you could arm teachers. I mean, there are teachers who are military veterans. And when I was in Catholic high school, where, by the way, these things never seem to occur, we had two teachers who met during the Korean War. These guys have a lot more experience with guns than police do. You know, they've been shot at in anger, and they've shot back. You know, police get a little bit of training every year. We saw how good the police protection was at that school in Florida. And I just don't buy into the idea that police should be in schools. It just really bothers me that it's reached the point in society where we need police. And if they're not in the school, even this guy was in the school, it didn't help. They're always going to get there after it's too late. So I don't think police in schools have evidence, have stopped a single incident. Maybe that stopped one we didn't hear about. But I just don't believe that this is a good idea. And all my liberal friends, who, whenever the police make a mistake, shoot a guy by accident or whatever, they're the first ones to put it on Facebook saying, oh, these police, they're so horrible, they shot another guy. And then you say, well, then why is it you liberals want to be you trust them as the only people who can have weapons? It makes no sense.
Well, let's look at your state, New Jersey, Paul Molshine. The NJEA, 400,000 strong, is a force to be dealt with. As the Union of Teachers there, they have said no to guns in the classroom, even if it means merit pay for some of their members who would voluntarily go through a training course to learn gun safety and what to do in a free fire situation. Do you think that there would be teachers in your state, either from Camden County up to Bergen County, who might be willing to take advantage of that training if, in fact, they receive a merit pay bonus in order to get strapped up and provide that extra layer of security in their public school classroom?
Well, the NJEA does have no power in this and should have no power in this. They're just basically a gang that is ganging up on the taxpayer. And I don't know why we should listen to them on this. And by the way, a lot of this is a full employment thing. You know, they would like to create more public jobs. I mean, I think there are, I don't know, several hundred thousand schools in America at several hundred thousand new jobs that are created for public employees, union members, who are mainly going to stand around. There aren't many school shootings. So this is the union sticking together. And Wayne LaPierre of the National Rifle Association is also tight with the police unions, and he was pushing the idea of an armed cop in every school, because it's the gravy train. You get a guy standing around all day, the cushiest job imaginable, and then, you know, that's hundreds of thousands of new jobs, hundreds of thousands of new union members. So I think that's what's behind it.
Well, you've seen already Mahwah, the mayor, took immediate proactive response. He hired professionals who are licensed to carry guns to provide security in their public school system. Likewise, it was done in Wayne and in East Brunswick. Seems to be sweeping New Jersey. So do you think that's going to be sort of the double back approach, is that just hire private security licensed to carry arms to specifically patrol the property of the public schools in question?
I think it's a huge overreaction. As we saw, it didn't work in Florida. It involves spending an absolute fortune. It has to come out of our property taxes, which are already bad enough. You know, I think anybody who proposes anything that raises our property taxes should be voted out of office. You know, you got to give these guys benefits. You got to give these guys pensions. And to do what? To stand around and wait in the extremely unlikely case that someone's going to come along and try and shoot up the school. It just makes no sense.
And then we'll actually, Paul. You know, yes, go ahead, Paul.
Oh, you know, and also my fellow members of the media, another funny thing I see on Facebook is some conservative will say that the media are causing these things by blowing them out of all proportion. And all the liberals will go, isn't that crazy? The media would never do anything like that for ratings. Now, you and I both work in the media, and we know what the media will do for ratings. Come on. They'll do a lot worse than that. You know?
Oh, Paul, having been in the studios of MSNBC, a short career in which I was hosting a show there in mid-afternoons, I'll never forget how the producer was screaming to the technicians in the control room, get the tear shot. Get that camera in the face of that woman. She's starting to cry. Keep it right there. I want the tear shot. And do you know that every other network went to that same tear shot?
Oh, God. I know. They'll do anything for rating. You know, this thing happened a month ago, and we're still talking about it. If we didn't talk about it, the kid, just the other day it came out, what, he wanted to kill 70, 80, become the all-time champion. Well, you know, if they didn't read about this stuff all the time, if they didn't cover it all the time, it just would, these people wouldn't be copycatting. Oh, and by the way, one of my friends who is a West Point grad pointed out that the cops who showed up there were pointing their rifles at the kids, the innocent kids that were exiting the schools, and telling them to put their hands up. Now, in the Army, he said if you ever pointed a weapon at someone you didn't intend to shoot, you're going to get like a court-martial. He said that's all they train soldiers. Don't point your weapon. You know, don't run your weapon sideways past where the arc goes past somebody. Point it at the ground. And these cops, you know, the idea that, I mean, cops are good at what cops do, but what cops do is not use guns. Most cops never use their guns, you know. It's kind of crazy to say they're going to go in there, they'll be so professional, they'll know who to shoot. Oh, and then the other thing I read was the cop said, and this is really funny, one of the cop unions or spokesman said, we can't have teachers in the school with guns because the cop might shoot the teacher. And I'm going like, wait a minute, this cop works in the school, can't tell the teacher from the students and shoots the teacher. You want to give him a gun?
Exactly.
The argument is absurd.
No, I appreciate all the hypocrisy you brought to the surface in your column in the New York Star Ledger. That's Paul Molshine. I suggest you go online and read his many columns, which I would just say are very eclectic at times.
Deep connections, deep understanding.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
He's a man of the people.
77 WABC.
He must be like Putin, that's a begin. He must be like Putin, then a give in. He must be like Putin, it's just one way. He must be like Putin, you'll not run away.
5:43 here, The Drive home at 5. And the news tightens around the Trump campaign and the Trump administration as Mueller and his inquisitors have leaked a hit list that may indicate that he is treating Team Trump like a criminal enterprise. We're talking RICO here. Oh, yeah. And guess who is right in the middle of the spider web? And he is saying, I am not cooperating. Sam Nunberg. Now, you ask, who's Sam Nunberg? He was a campaign aide in the midst of the presidential run in the Republican primary and then the general election, a friend of the infamous Roger Stone. So he knows where some of the bones are buried and who buried it. Then all of a sudden he got subpoenaed earlier today by Mueller and his inquisitors, and he said, nah, you got to show me your stinking badge. You're going to have to take me at gunpoint.
Do you think that they have something on the president?
I think they may. What? I think that he may have done something during the election, but I don't know that for
Why
sure.
Why do you think that?
I can't explain it unless you were in there.
Explain the atmosphere.
The way they asked questions about anything I heard after I was fired from the campaign to the general election to even November 1, it insinuated to me that he may have done something.
If you got that sense, if you got that sense from the special counsel's investigators, why would you not want to cooperate with them if you got a sense that something
happened?
Because
I'm not interested in handing all my emails over that I've communicated with Steve Bannon, with other people, and with Roger Stone. I'm not interested in it.
Well, I understand that. I completely understand that, Sam Nunberg. But do you know, you've been subpoenaed before a grand jury. You can't say no without repercussions. And yet he continued to insist that Mueller and his inquisitors are going to have to arrest him.
I'm not cooperating. Arrest me. I'm not cooperating. You're more than happy. You want to arrest me? Arrest me.
And then he goes on to say the ludicrous, because he's clearly not a student of history.
I'm going to be the first one in history to flat out say, I'm not going.
You're not going.
I'm not going to the grand jury. I'm not going to spend 30 hours going over my emails. I'm not doing it.
He's not doing it. Does he not understand? Does he not understand that we went through this before? And I'm surprised none of the reporters have asked him this question, because they're really not cognoscentes. They are not comparing this to Whitewater. Remember, that was the original investigation that Judge Starr was assigned to, Whitewater. And you ask yourself, how did it go from Whitewater to the stained dress of Monica Lewinsky through Paula Jones first, and whether his three-piece set was vertical, perpendicular, or whatever? That's what happens when you have these special prosecutors. Ladies and gentlemen, do you remember how there was a husband and wife involved in Whitewater in Arkansas, involving Bill Clinton, then governor, and his wife, Hillary, the lawyer, in the Rose Law Firm? Remember how she lost the files and then miraculously discovered them in the White House like a year later, parked under some bench? Do you remember Susan McDougal and her husband, Jim McDougal? Susan McDougal appeared before the grand jury, and she answered one question. She gave her name. She didn't give her Social Security number. She didn't even do what a prisoner of war is supposed to do. She just gave her name, and then she said, I'm taking the code of Omerta. And she did not answer another question taking the Fifth Amendment. She spent 2 years in jail for Bill Clinton. I mean, I'm saying to myself, how did he mesmerize her that she was willing to do 2 years to protect then the governor, Bill Clinton, who eventually became the president? Two solid years. Her husband, Jim McDougal, remember, went to jail. He died of a heart attack in jail. He, too, refused to answer any questions before the grand jury. So here was Sam Nunberg saying, all they want is for me to say Roger Stone colluded with WikiLeaks.
They want me to say that Roger was going around telling people he was colluding with Julian Assange. That's what they want.
And that did not occur, according to you?
No, it did not.
Okay, so just say that to the grand jury. This is the problem, though, for Sam Nunberg. Apparently, he is now saying publicly, although it won't appear before the grand jury, that Donald Trump, knew about the Tower meeting at Trump Tower the week before it happened between the Russians, his son, Donald Trump Jr., his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and his campaign manager at the time, Manafort?
No, he talked about it a week before. And I don't know why he did this. All he had to say was, yeah, we met with the Russians. The Russians offered us something, and we thought they had something, and that was it. I don't know why he went around trying to hide.
And then to add, just to add fuel to the fire, because this guy, Sam Nunberg, is sounding like he's got all the furniture upstairs and rearranged in the wrong rooms, although he may be trying to distract and deflect for his pal, Roger Stone. That's my bet. But then he's talking about Trump firing Comey and how that was such a dumb thing to do.
You know why Trump was so stupid to fire Comey?
Why?
Because Comey can never do anything to Trump because he didn't do anything against Hillary. So Trump fires him. I've heard, and you can imagine who I heard it from, that Jared was going around for 2 months saying that Trump should fire him.
Now, I got to believe that Sam Nunberg does not have the onions, the culions, the huevos that Susan and Jim McDougal had to do time for Bill Clinton. They did 2 freaking years. Jim McDougal died in jail of a heart attack. And I know many of you are saying, wasn't he a friend of Bill and Hillary? Wasn't he one of the number of people who mysteriously died on that list of friends of Bill and Hillary? You're absolutely right. But is he going to be willing to do time, Sam Nunberg? I'll bet you that at the last minute, when that subpoena says that it must be honored, he will chump up, he will fold like a cheap camera, and he will spew what is either nonsense or fact. And if it's fact, it's not good news for the Trump administration.